Vision.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Of course, each and every show, as you all know, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders. Always a pleasure to have the grand dame on the show from Talk Radio News, Ellen Ratner, who had a very busy day on the Hill just the other day. Ellen, thanks for popping on with us. We appreciate it as always.
Well, thank you so much.
And tell us, I guess we should do this. Tell us about Keir and everything if you could, it's probably tough, but try to kind of give us a summary of what happened in his testimony the other day. I've been telling the listeners about it, and they're following his story. A lot of people are interested. I'm getting a lot of emails.
Yeah, well, basically, and I've got to write up a whole new one on how he's doing. But basically, Keir was asked to testify about slavery, and he gave his experience being a slave in north of Sudan, and he spoke for 11 minutes without any the testimony. His video of it is on our website under video, pretty easy to find, and he spoke for 11 minutes without anything. I mean, he just spoke.
Yeah, it was great.
And, of course, he's not fluent yet in English, although he's getting very, very quick. And it's to a point, honestly, where I can't, you know, when he first came, I could sort of talk about this, that, or the other and not expect him to pick it up. And now I can't talk about anything because he understands almost everything I'm saying. But he testified, and it was just amazing. And, you know, when I saw this, here he's in the United States Congress with a sign in front of him that says Mr. Dang. And, you know, here's a kid that was completely mistreated, tortured, hung upside down by his slave master, made to sleep with goats. And there he is, you know, in a jacket and tie, testifying before the United States Congress. It really was quite amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what you and your brother Bruce and others have done around you to help make that possible. It'll be fun, I think, for the listeners. I say fun in a sense to follow his story, because I think at the end of all this, years down the road, I'll be very curious to see what happens with this young man. He has lots of potential.
Well, my goal in life is for him to become president of South Sudan, but I'm
there
a tiger mom.
Tiger mom. I like that. Steve Jobs, what a sad story really for him this past year, especially we've seen him as he's gotten thinner and thinner and everything, and everybody knew he was deathly ill, of
right.
course, and he was fighting the fight, but now dead at the age of 56, and he had his moments in Washington, didn't he?
Well, he certainly did. I mean, there were a lot of people that felt that he was getting was sort of acting as a monopoly, cutting out competition, that kind of thing. But it was interesting. I'm just now looking at a statement from former Senator Chris Dodd, talking about how he brought life and visual magic and brilliant storytelling of Pixar. It created one of the most innovative and successful platforms, and was really talking about him. So he was a very creative, if not tough, guy.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to talk more about that tonight. People listening here, of course, to us at 800-259-5791. Those are the digits. Ellen, the taxing millionaires question, now it's interesting. Democrats are, what, balking on this?
Well, originally, the president said they would only tax people who are making over $250,000, $300,000 a year. But then some of the Democrats who are running for re-election felt like this was going to put them in grave danger, that there were studies, you know, that showing that these people aren't that wealthy because they do businesses, et cetera. So now they raised it to 5% of a billion of people who are making $1 million a year, which would, I think, give us something like $448 or $445 billion over 10 years, which would be enough to pay for the president's stimulus program.
All right, there you go. It's all done. I thought they weren't supposed to say stimulus anymore. Didn't you get that memo?
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right, one last one. Transcontinental Pipeline. Obviously, we've been chewing on this, and now, what was there, some kind of some war of words that involves Hillary Clinton in some way?
Essentially, some of the more liberal House members, headed up by Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, I think he's Oregon, yeah, sent a letter to Hillary Clinton basically saying that they were siding with the Trans Canada Company, and that they were not looking as no as an option for this pipeline, and that that they were very upset about it, that they felt that this was unfair. The State Department was acting without consideration of other issues, including security issues, if this was bombed, et cetera, et cetera. So there you have it. I mean, they were not happy campers.
Yeah, and we haven't heard the last of this, that's for sure. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News. Thanks. Couple of things talking to Ellen. I want to make sure that you understand what she was talking about. Keir, what's happened with Ellen Ratner, the woman behind, certainly one of the women anyway, and folks behind Talk Radio News out of D.C. and New York and whatnot, and actually around the country covering politics of all sorts, of all kinds, on both sides and new sides. What she's mentioning, what I asked her about, Keir is an emancipated Sudanese slave who shared his story on the Hill. He told his personal account of what the slaves are currently going through in South Sudan. Deng, Keir Deng, was blinded by his slave master. I met him in New York, great kid. He's recovering from a cornea transplant in the United States that they arranged through a great institute in Philadelphia. His recovery's pretty good. His vision is starting to improve. He's starting to see light and whatnot. What happened was they were afraid that his mother would leave the camp, so they hung him upside down with a fire beneath him and then poured things into his eyes, rubbed hot peppers and whatnot into his eyes until they blinded him that way. So he has that personal tale of here's what's happening, here's what happened to me, and here's what's happening to other people. The other thing we touched on, and we're going to talk a lot about this here on America Tonight, is Steve Jobs dead at 56. He had pancreatic cancer. That's such a deadly form of cancer. Remember Patrick Swayze? You could see him getting thinner and thinner, and then finally he succumbed to death from that type of cancer as well. And it was inevitable. You knew that it was going on because of naming his replacement and whatnot. But he is a Silicon Valley icon without a doubt. The iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, the CEO of the world's largest technology corporation. He handed over the reins, as we've talked about, in August to the current guy, Tim Cook. He had been controversial over a lot of things, as Ellen said, being accused of forming a monopoly and whatnot, so he had his squabbles in Washington, and he definitely had his fans. What's your favorite Apple product? Do you even have an Apple product? Do you have an iPhone? If you go to my website, americatonight.net, you'll see I'm holding up my iPhone. I was reluctant to get one. Now I can't imagine life without the iPhones. The iPhone, the iPad, or the iPod. He will go down in history. Probably will be this year's, I'm going to say, on Time Magazine, the man of the year for what happened with Apple, and sadly now what happened here in his death and what happens with that company. Coming up around the bend, straw poll here on ATN. Ron Paul has some thoughts on raising money and no more bailouts. And what about Sarah Palin next? Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you. Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com, gourmet emergency food at the best price.
As I mentioned before, time for a little straw poll action here on ATN. We're in week two. It goes up to 3 weeks since all these other states are doing it and it's unofficial. We decided that we would have our own poll as well. More votes trickling in. We're going to let you hear what Ron Paul had to say today in Washington on a couple of different things, plus Sarah Palin. The ultimate question, is she running for president? Because this keeps hanging around. And finally, there is an answer to that question, by the way. But before we do that, let me give you an update on our tally. We now had more votes come in for Herman Cain. He's up to, believe it or not, 40. Ron Paul, close second. He's got 36. Rick Perry has 15, Mitt Romney has 15, and Michelle Bachmann has 11. So things are picking up with the poll. Some of you have called the show, some of you have emailed the show, like Eric, who says, Kate, Herman Cain all the way. I didn't think I was going to vote for him until I started to listen a little bit deeper. He cuts through the nonsense. He is owned by nobody. He knows business. What is ailing us, our economy? Herman Cain is the man. So 800-259-5791, or go to the website americatonight.net, click on the email you're in, just write straw poll and tell us who you think, if you had to vote in these next couple of weeks, who you think you would vote for, who would get your vote. As I said, Ron Paul, very popular with this audience and has a loyal following, no doubt, people that have been in his camp, if you will, for, in some cases, decades. But others who are kind of new to the party in the last handful of years, they're sticking, though. He gets the people that stick. It's like if he had a Twitter account and you see other politicians, they had 5,000 or whatever number they had as far as followers. If he had 5,000, every single one of them would be loyal, know about him, would want to vote for him, would come out to any of his events, that kind of stuff. Whereas it's not just a sea of faces, is what I'm trying to say. He really locks them down. Is that going to happen with Herman Cain? Is that happening with Rick Perry? Because Rick Perry, in the last month or so, he has raised a lot of money in this last quarter, $17 million. So presidential candidate Paul was at the National Press Club on Wednesday, and he talked about a few things. The third quarter, how much money he brought in the third quarter, and how many donors contributed to that money, to that pot. And he also talked about U.S. troops. He also talked about receiving twice the amount of donations from troops than some of the other Republican candidates, since they agree with his policy to end the war. Isn't that interesting? Because I just told you about a Pew poll that showed one out of three in the military thought we need to be out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And we haven't seen numbers like that before. So he's backing them up, of course, on what those numbers are saying, too. And one thing Ron Paul is known for, it's talking about the government's role and how that role needs to be reassessed when we talk about the budget crisis we're in, that there's an excess of government intervention problems there. And that goes right along with no bailouts. He says the only, and he said this all along, he really drills it down and says the only way to liquidate the debt and get the economy growing again is to stop bailing out all these interest groups, that we have to cut spending. There's just no two ways around that. That's the only way that'll happen. So here's Ron Paul on a couple of those issues. Take a listen.
We did just end a quarter for fundraising, and the reports will be out, I think, on the 15th. But we do have pretty sound numbers that we have on the amount of money we collected. And I've been told by the staff that we have collected over $8 million, and also that our number of donors to the campaign now is over 100,000. So we are very pleased with that and believe that will give us the energy to keep the campaign moving right along. We don't have a budgetary crisis. We have a crisis in our understanding of what the role of government ought to be. The budget is the symptom. The taxes are the symptoms. We have to ask one way or the other, what should the role of government be? Is it to take care of us from cradle to grave and police the world and tell us what to do with our personal lives? Or is it to protect our liberties and give us sound money and enforce contracts and protect property rights? There's a big difference. In order to get the economy growing again, you have to liquidate the debt. You liquidate the debt by quit bailing out these agencies, which means veto the bills where the Congress tries to bail out the special interests, as well as curtail what the Fed can do in the best and most rapid manner possible for them to get out of the business of taking care of their cronies. And this would be a really very strong message. But there has to be a lot of spending cuts as well.
Spending cuts. There's that word that they don't want to hear on the Democratic side of things in Washington, which is part of the same old song and dance we hear, spending cuts and taxes, spending cuts, taxes. What are you going to give us? What are we going to give you? Sarah Palin finally gives it up. She says she's not going to seek the Republican presidential nomination. You're not shocked, are you, in 2012? That there have been months of doubt for some reason that's just speculation, I guess, that there was a possibility she would probably throw in. You know, you got to think about this. She did the John McCain thing on the undercard as the vice presidential nominee in 2008. So her star really rose, and she was the Mama Grizzly. Now she's got television appearances, she's giving speeches, all that sort of stuff. People still listen and follow her. So if she were to jump in this, and now lately, too, because probably of all the speculation, she was polling way behind a Mitt when people would throw her in, Mitt Romney, Perry, Herman Cain. So really, did we think that she was going to really run? I mean, read between the lines, people. Chris Christie and Sarah Palin are milking this for all it's worth. The New Jersey governor was never going to do this. And Sarah Palin, she didn't say she was, but the speculation was there. It was fanning the flames. She now finally, I think she's tired of being dogged by the question, finally kind of comes clean on it. I mean, she did officially say that she wasn't running, but take a listen to the little tease in this earlier in the day.
I am still thinking about it. Certainly haven't made up my mind, couldn't make a decision yet. Hired a chief of staff because, to tell you the truth, Todd's getting kind of tired of doing it all for me.
What? So she did, in one breath, she said she wasn't going to do it, and then she said that. And ultimately, it comes down to the fact that she's supporting candidates, talking about candidates, and she absolutely is a person who, like Hillary Clinton, is polarizing. You all know this. People either love Sarah Palin or they don't like Sarah Palin, but either way, she has had some influence. And she certainly is out there, as I said, speaking, analyzing, jumping up on Fox, that kind of stuff. And that's what she's going to continue to do. You know, she talked about also that there might be a temptation, she was asked about this, by her to run for president as a third-party candidate. And she said no, because that would really just guarantee Obama's re-election. And that's the worst thing. That's the thing that we can't afford to happen here. So she says that there is no consideration whatsoever for a third party. In the meantime, I mentioned Herman Cain, that he's on top of our own straw poll here on America Tonight. If you haven't weighed in, make sure that you do that so your vote can be counted unofficially. A new poll comes out, and this isn't necessarily shocking, that shows that Cain is overtaking Romney with Republican voters. It's a Newsmax Insider Advantage poll, and it shows, it has happened in the last, they took this poll in the last 24 hours, it shows Cain jumping ahead of Romney 26%, so it's close, to 24%. And, you know, there's always that margin of error, which is right in there, 4.4%. There are other polls that are showing results kind of similar to that. I mean, Cain is now the new, if you want to call him that, grassroots front runner, who's in a deadlock pretty much with Mitt Romney, who's the establishment guy. Does Romney pull away, or does Cain become the long shot, suddenly the front runner who gets all the way to the finish line and takes this thing? We're talking with Pharmacist Ben next.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Here we are in America tonight again, and we're heavily ensconced in the NFL. That means we're getting our butts kicked in the pools and unnail the score, but we're watching a lot of football and a lot of baseball and a lot of other things. A lot of you are watching the political shows. You can't get enough of it to see what's going to happen 2012, especially on the Republican side of things, who's going to end up getting the nomination, all the heavy talk and all the conversation, which means you're putting indentations in the couch. But what are you putting in your mouth while you're sitting there? You know, it's that mindless eating thing. I've talked about this before, and I think that was my deal because I played poker, hung out with a lot of guys, and that's what you do. You start to BS. You guys know it. And you're, before you know it, the pretzels are all gone. The potato chips are all gone, and you didn't even taste them really. And then you start to pack on a few of those pounds. So luckily, my pal, pharmacist Ben Fuchs, decided, and we had a conversation in New York, that we would come up with this little plan. So I've been taking stuff like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, and that to me is the bomb. It's really worked for me. And I'm starting to really shed some pounds. I weighed the other day, and I think I was down, you know, like 16 pounds. I was 16 pounds, and that's pretty good. And I'm feeling really, really good. I'm feeling like I'm losing that Buddha belly. You know what I'm saying? How everybody gets those Buddha bellies where you kind of have that potato shape. It's weird. And guys, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't care if you run, walk, do other things. It's the food thing. You got to get the food thing under control. So without further ado, he joins us each and every week here on America Tonight, pharmacist Ben. Hello, Ben.
Greetings, KT.
Yeah, isn't that true?
It is.
I feel great. Isn't it true about the indentation thing, though, on the couch, where the mindless eating, you know what I mean, where you're just talking, you're eating?
You hit the nail on the head, girl, with that one. I was just reading an article today from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Chewing food more leads to lower levels of hunger hormone. And this is just something that we know in biochemistry, we've known since we started studying the digestive system 150 years ago. Is that just simply thinking about food creates biochemical changes that, number one, initiate and maximize the digestive process and simultaneously, at the same time, shut down hunger. The same, and this is what we're talking about here. When everything you and I have talked about the last couple of weeks has to do with hacking into the body's code. Does that make sense? You follow what I'm saying? It's like figuring out what the body responds to and then working with that. Satiety centers were one example. The salt button that we talked about last week is another example. And another way to hack into the body's hunger drive and appetite drive is to have the body realize that food is coming in. When the body realizes that incoming, so to speak, when there's incoming, it shuts down hunger because it needs to deal with incoming. But when we eat, when we're watching TV, or we eat when we're having meetings or parties, or worse, if we were under stress, when we're angry or when we're driving, the exact opposite happens. Not only do you not access that chemistry that shuts down the appetite, but even worse than that, you literally shut down the body's ability to absorb and utilize those nutrients. So you get a 1-2 punch, a 1-2 knockout punch. Number one, you don't get, you keep eating. And number two, you don't get the nutrients from the food that you are eating. So you end up on this vicious cycle. Simply thinking about food. If I talk to you about your favorite food right now, if I talk to you about lemon meringue pie or whatever the heck your favorite food was, and I told you in detail, even if I didn't even tell you in detail, you might start salivating. That is the beginnings of the digestive process. And you can maximize all of that by simply paying attention to what you're eating. Just watching it and paying attention. Take as long as you want to suck out the juices of that apple, and you won't even be able to eat an entire apple. You'll be able to eat only a quarter apple if you just really enjoyed it. There's a great book by Thich Nhat Hanh. You ever heard of Thich Nhat Hanh? He wrote a great book called Savor, S-A-V-O-R, and it's all about how you can change your relationship to food and use food as a delight and a pleasure, an ecstatic pleasure almost, and maximize the nutritional value you get from it and work your body's satiety centers and appetite centers the way you need to work.
Oh, so true. I mean, again, that mindless eating thing and how you just explained it, Ben, just to slow down and pay attention to what you're eating. And I have so done that. You just don't realize, did I just eat a whole bag of Doritos? How did that happen?
Oh, my God. That's eating those carbohydrates plus the Doritos, it's so easy to eat an entire bag. It's almost impossible not to eat an entire bag if you're nutritionally deficient. But once you, that's why supplement program is so important, and that's why eating nutrient dense is so important, like soups and juices, concentrated foods, is because it allows you to get the nutritional value you need without putting a load on the body calorically. The caloric load is what kills us, because the caloric load freaks the body out. The caloric load is like an explosion. It's like a nuclear bomb going off in your body. You know what I mean when I say the caloric load? The calorie load. Calories are a measurement of heat. If you look up calorie in the dictionary, it'll say it's a measurement of heat, a unit of heat. You put calories in the body, it initiates an emergency response when you put heat in the body, especially dramatic heat, like a candy bar, a marshmallow, or cake, or something that's super intensely sweet. That is like a friggin' Hiroshima in your body. And it initiates that kind of biochemical response. And that's what ages us eventually. That's what kills us, is the biochemical response to these chronic explosions, which is from a biochemical standpoint, that's exactly what's happening. And it happens chronically. I'm doing continuing education, and I had to do one on infant formulas. And I was reading what they're giving infants, putting in infant formulas. And so corn syrup solids and sucrose and glucose and dextrose. Mm. You're forcing this sugar explosion on your kid at a very young age. If you're feeding him formula, 50% of Americans are still feeding a kid formula. It's like we're set up to fail. We're set up to fail. By the time we get out of the womb, we're set up to fail. So all of these things that we're talking about here, it flies in the face of what we've been trained to do, but it's how the body runs. And that's why, Kate, you get such amazing results. I was just talking to Ted's wife, Nassima, right? You know Nassima, remember?
Yes.
Nassima, right? She says to me, she's in such amazing and then in awe. She says, you're not going to believe Ted's results, right? Ted is her husband, and he's been on the program now for 8 months or so. And I knew this would happen because I've seen it happen a zillion times. And I love it when I can introduce somebody who participates in some of these ideas, because I know what's going to happen. I know. I've seen it over and over and over again. I ain't a genius. I've just seen it. And so she says to me, Ben, you're not going to believe his numbers. There's such an amazed sound in her voice that I knew that she really got it. And it just said to me, it was just one more validation in this long string of validations about these ideas that I didn't invent. They're not, I don't take credit for this. This is just how the body works. In case you're 16 pounds, that's great. I love that. But you know what else? You now have dropped your blood sugar. You've dropped your insulin more than likely. You've supported other systems in your body. You've decreased the risk of cancer. You've decreased the risks of heart disease. You've decreased the risk of degenerative breakdowns. You've increased the likelihood of quality of life and longevity. These are all the things that you've done. And so in addition, it's great you lost 16 pounds. I love that. I love all of that. But look at the other things that you've done.
Sure.
You see how amazing that is?
Yeah.
Now,
and that's...
Is there a drug in the world that can do that?
No.
That would be super drug.
Now, we all wish we could have that. That's the problem. That's what everybody's looking for, the magic pill, as we always say. You know, well, if you could just eat whatever. Yeah.
Well, you got the magic pill here. This is as close to a magic pill as you can get. So you can still have your snack, whatever it is you want. There's no rules against it. It's just that you'll naturally probably not going to want it. And if you do want it, you have a little bit, you're satisfied. You know?
Right, because you can't... You can't eat the amounts. Like you're saying, the caloric bombs, you can't eat the amounts because you just don't want it. Your body rejects it,
right.
Really, is what happens.
Right. Your body rejects it. Insulin is a sneaky hormone. Insulin is the hormone that helps you process sugar. And it's a very sneaky hormone. Fat and protein initiate an instant satiety response, but not so with sugar. Sugar levels aren't the same way, and you don't know you ate too much sugar until you finish that pint of Ben and Jerry's, right?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do that with steak. You couldn't do that with fat. Fat and protein have their own shutoff system, or have a rapid, more responsive shutoff system. The shutoff system for sugar is sneaky. It sneaks up on you, and the body becomes tolerant to it very rapidly. So the more sugar you have, the more this shutdown system, the safety valve, becomes more becomes dumber. It becomes dumbed down over time, and so it doesn't respond as rapidly. That's what diabetes is. That's what our obesity problem is. It's the sneakiness of the blood sugar metabolism system. Fat and protein don't do that, which is why you want to up your fat and up your protein. That's the shut-off button.
And yeah, and we say that all the time, because what people will ask me is, well, then what do you eat? What do I do when I'm starving on Monday Night Football or just hanging out at the house, and I'm, you know, right there's the refrigerator. What should I eat? Soups.
Well,
turkey.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what you are you asking? I didn't know you were asking me.
Yeah. What should I eat?
Okay. Here's what you eat because you want to hit all the buttons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the buttons. The buttons are protein, salt, and oil. Those are the buttons. So you get your favorite oil, olive oil, hemp seed oil. I like Udo's blend. Whatever, your favorite oil, you get Celtic sea salt, which everybody needs and everybody loves, and you get your favorite spices, whatever you like. I like Tony Chachere's. You ever hear Tony Chachere's?
Mm-mm.
Favorite spice. That's awesome spice. Tony Chachere's, I use it. Whatever your favorite spice is. You mix it up with the oil, mix it all up, and you make yourself a dip with your favorite vegetables, and you crunch it on it slowly. If you have to have a little bit of sweet in there, which I don't know why, it sounds so delicious right now, my mouth is watering, I don't know why you want a little sweet, get some raisins. Right? If you have to have, don't have a lot of them, because that's a pretty big caloric load, but if you have a lot of veggies, you're good. Better yet, use beets and sweet onions. You know, or you saute broccoli, Brussels sprouts, or you steam broccoli. You ever steam broccoli in butter and spices?
Oh, that's
holy
great.
Moly. Mm-hmm. Holy moly. Why is it that, when you eat that, and you eat a lot of fat, you have to make sure you got a lot of fat on there, because that's key.
All right, yeah, Pharmacist Ben, next week we're going to talk more about that, some of the other keys, and plus pharmaceuticals.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HP Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Attention, all Medicare beneficiaries who need assistance getting around their homes. There is a Medicare benefit that may qualify you for a power chair or scooter at little to no cost to you. Imagine one scooter or power chair that could improve your mobility and your life. One Medicare benefit that, with private insurance, may entitle you to pay little to nothing to own it. One company that can make it all happen.
Your power chair will be paid in full.
The Scooter Store.
Hi, I'm Doug Harrison. We're experts at getting you the power chair or scooter you need. In fact, if we qualify you for Medicare reimbursement and Medicare denies your claim, we'll give you your power chair or scooter free.
I didn't pay a penny out of pocket for my power chair.
Call the Scooter Store for free information today.
Call 1-800-619-1414. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. 1-800-619-1414. That's 1-800-619-1414.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Bring it all around here with me, Kate Delaney, as we head for the exits on America Tonight. The Apple founder Steve Jobs, dead at the age of 56 after a battle with pancreatic cancer that he fought as hard as he could. It's just such a killer, pancreatic cancer. I mentioned that before. We've seen other people like Patrick Swayze. He put a real face to this. I've known a couple of people that have succumbed to it, including an old dear friend and an incredible radio man named Dave Markham, who I had the pleasure of working with for a time in Dallas, and he's worked all over the country. Many of you are listening to me in the East Coast. He worked in the East in Washington, and he worked in the Carolinas and worked in Virginia as well, and he went through that. So Steve Jobs, if you think about what he achieved in his life, co-founding Apple in a garage. You know, those are those stories. And then he led a revolution. That's what he did. Even if you don't have any of the products, you don't have an iPhone, you don't have the iPod, you don't have an iPad, you definitely understand what Apple is, and you understand who Steve Jobs, I think, was. If you don't know who he was, I'd be very, very surprised, because he really was the oracle. He really was. And he had some great quotes. One of the things he said is, your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. He was known for that, because when he'd give speeches, he would sort of leave the room with something. And news spread really Wednesday night about his death. It started to pour out, and people were suspecting, obviously, he was sick. As I said, you could see it, and when he handed over the reins to the company, you absolutely knew that that was what was happening. But he left his mark, and left his mark for future generations, without a doubt, a true innovator. When you talk about an entrepreneur with a dramatic side, dramatic flair, and certainly not afraid to take anyone on, without a doubt, without a doubt. All right, some other quick hits as we get ready to wrap up, like I said, and bring this hour around for you. A couple of things happened during the day politically. We've already talked about that. Sarah Palin says no, she's not going to run for president. That's it. Bada bing. Forget it. Forget the questions. She doesn't think there should be a third party. She never thought about breaking off and doing that because she thinks it would hurt the Republicans' chances, or just in general, it would hurt the chances of not having someone other than Obama reelected to the office. So she had never given a thought to doing that, because there was rumors that were flying around that that was also a possibility. Well, maybe she'll just go her own way and be the Tea Party person, start the Tea Party, take it in from more than a movement into an actual party, although I don't see that happening. I do, however, disagree with her that in the future there won't be a third party. I think she's right about now, but I think that, I didn't used to think this, but I think that when you're seeing the frustrations that are pouring out with these marches and whatnot, I think eventually that's what's going to happen. There is going to be some other alternative party. Now, what that ultimately looks like, if it is more of an independent type of party, if you wanted to label it independent, I'm not sure, because there's all kinds of people that could fall into that so-called third party. Remember, there was always the, quotes, Green Party, and remember Ralph Nader, often the Democrats would slam him because they thought he's pulling people in a different direction. I never thought Nader had much of an effect on the elections, but he was out there certainly stumping and talking about consumer issues and all that sort of thing, and maybe taking away some headlines when there was something that he could latch on to, if you will. So there was the thought about the Green Party. This is big and has played out throughout the land. The Michael Jackson doctor who's on trial, Conrad Murray, the doctor, just a day before, all kinds of women were trotted out to say, oh, he's distracted because he had all this other life going on, and he had to be there for his patient, Michael Jackson. And, you know, they actually played a recording in court of Michael Jackson where you can hear, and you can barely hear it, but he's talking about trying to build a hospital for kids, and he's rambling and he's slurred. And he's not making really much sense whatsoever. And you have to remember, pretty much, I believe, that this doctor was hired to give Michael whatever he wanted, because he would just go from doctor to doctor to get whatever it was that he wanted, whatever it was to treat him. That's what happened. So as they turn this case over, and I think this case probably goes... Somebody asked me this the other day, how long do you think this one goes? This could go, this trial, could go maybe another month. They're in kind of what you would call the CSI phase. It's when the jurors, who are captive, sitting there trying to pay attention and not nod off to sleep, are going to hear from investigators and detectives. So they're going to go through all of that stuff. And remember, the contention is, and what the prosecution believes, is that he gave Michael Jackson, Conrad Murray, gave Michael Jackson a lethal dose of the anesthetic propofol, I can barely say it, and other sedatives in Jackson's bedroom. And this is something that you could treat people in comas. I mean, this is stuff on the emergency room table. You know, we know this. And it's been very dramatic, some of this testimony about the frantic efforts to try to revive Jackson. So there have been all kinds of witnesses in the past couple of days, besides the girlfriends in the past, there have been other people who have come through that those courtroom doors to talk about what they heard or what they know on the day that Jackson died. As one of the women testified that the doctor, Dr. Murray, called her at 11:51 in the morning when he died, but didn't pay attention during the call, like something was happening, there was mumbling voices, or he was distracted, or whatever. I mean, the bottom line is, Michael Jackson got what he wanted from this doctor. Now it's a question of, is he complicit in his murder? Could they nail him? Can they nail him? Will they have enough to nail him for manslaughter? And it's iffy. It's iffy at best. Depends on how well they did for the defense side, how well they did, I think, in picking jurors that could not be bigger. All right, and finally wrapping everything up, dozens of people have been arrested again because now you have the union groups who are hanging out with this hodgepodge of protesters near Wall Street. It's gotten bigger and bigger. The unions are lending their muscle, if you will, to the protest against Wall Street and the economy that is unequal, meaning the rich have all the money, with the union folks throwing in. Now you have thousands of protesters. So now this is a lot bigger in lower Manhattan as opposed to some of the smaller groups they had originally and the smaller groups around the country. What does it lead to? Does this, do you say bravo because, hey, someone's finally saying something? Isn't this interesting that we're seeing people who are protesting because they don't like what's happened in the past that so many banks were given? You know, everything to me goes back to 2008, the tail end of 2008, and that banks too big to fail quote from Henry Paulson, who was then the Secretary of the Treasury. Banks too big to fail. That just stuck with everyone. And how long has that been? You know, that's been 3 years now. But it still eats away. There's certain things that you just don't let go of. And we're like dogs with a bone when it comes to the banks, and especially not lending now and all the other nonsense that's happening. I think that's where a lot of this stems from. A lot of this anger, a lot of what's happening with the protests. And now you throw in the elements of the unions, and boy, it's a whole different game, isn't it? Whole different game. Think about this for a second. Where would we be without Steve Jobs' technology and Apple pushing the envelope, pushing other companies to strive harder, faster, to keep up with him? Would we have an iPhone, an iPod, an iPad, and some of the futuristic things happening? I don't think so. God rest his soul.